Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, November 16th, 2014. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I am Marvelous Mutlanga Nyahuye. And amongst our top stories this evening, the Commercial Farmers Union says preparations for this year's farming seasons are being hampered by lack of financing and the changing weather pattern.
The impact is huge because there's no other sources of income, finance and inputs available. If you can't access inputs, if you can't access finance, I really don't know how these small farmers will be able to put a crop in the ground.
The Health Ministry says it has made strides in curbing the transmission of HIV/AIDS virus from mother to child.
Since last year, we have launched a program that we call Option B+, where we give lifelong antiretroviral treatments to HIV-positive and pregnant women to reduce the risk of passing on the HIV virus to the unborn baby.
And as usual, we have the Youth Forum with Tsatsenda Gumbo. The Commercial Farmers Union says preparations for this year's farming season are being hampered by lack of financing and the changing weather pattern. Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri speaks to the Commercial Farmers Union Chief Executive Hendrik Olivier on the issue.
I think the weather is playing a significant role. Some areas the rains are definitely late, but you travel throughout the rural areas, you see very few land preparations taking place. I'm concerned that, as usual, we just see the tobacco industry, because there's a bit of money lying around through the traders, that they support their farmers and make finance available. Other than that, there's nothing else. No other finance available except your own cash that is lying around, and farmers don't have any cash lying around at this stage, spare cash. So you don't see a lot of activity taking place, no significant land preparations. And as I said, I think also a bit of influence of the rain, the weather patterns is a bit late this year.
We understand that the government is no longer assisting farmers. How is this affecting farmers, especially small-scale farmers?
To be honest with you, I think it's seriously affecting them there. The impact is huge because of government not assisting any more farmers. We hear through the presidential support fund that there could be a possibility of some desperate households that will be assisted. But other than that, as I said to you, the impact is huge because there's no other sources of income, finance, and inputs available. If you can't access inputs, if you can't access finance, I really don't know how these small farmers will be able to put a crop in the ground.
That was the Commercial Farmers Union Chief Executive Hendrik Olivier in Harare, speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri. The Health Ministry says it has made great strides in curbing the transmission of the HIV/AIDS virus from mother to child. The Prevention of Mother-to-Children Transmission, PMTCT, Pediatric Care and Treatment Coordinator in the Health Ministry, Dr. Angela Mushavi, said since implementing the World Health Organization's new guidelines on transmission and prevention, known as Option B+, last year, they have made great strides in targeting women otherwise left behind. We caught up with Dr. Mushavi to tell us more on the program.
We do have a program where we have government efforts at reducing new HIV infections among children. And this program is over a decade long. And since last year, we have launched a program that we call Option B+, where we give lifelong antiretroviral treatments to HIV-positive and pregnant women to reduce the risk of passing on the HIV virus to the unborn baby or during the time of breastfeeding. And we are beginning to see some very good results with this intervention.
And what would you advise those that are thinking of having a child and suspect that they're HIV positive to do?
Our encouragement certainly is to promote and encourage girls who are going to have children for the first time, women that already have children and are now pregnant. We encourage them to book their pregnancies very early in the first 3 months of that pregnancy. As soon as they are found to be HIV positive, they are then commenced on lifelong antiretroviral treatment to prevent the virus from passing on to the baby during the pregnancy or indeed during the breastfeeding period. And this medication is for life. And we also encourage the male partners to come forward to access testing. And if they are also HIV positive, then they can be put on to lifelong treatment.
That was Dr. Angela Mushavi from the Health Ministry. As reported earlier on, the crisis in Zimbabwe coalition is itself in crisis, with leadership battles affecting the running of the coalition. Board chairman of Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition, Dewa Mavinga, told Studio 7 that Democracy Lobby Group will not renew the contract of its director, McDonald Lewanyika, when it expires at the end of this year. Mavinga says this follows an adverse audit report that implicates Lewanyika in the misuse of the organization's funds.
To be effective in holding government and other public or private institutions accountable, we must be strong actors and staunch defenders of the values we subscribe to. Recalling that a duly constituted Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition board legitimately met on October 10, 2014 and decided not to renew the director's employment contract based on, among other things, an adverse 2013 external audit report that the board reviewed, and regrettably noting the continued defiance and resistance by the affected employee, Ms. McDonald Lewanyika, working in cahoots with the spokesperson, Ms. Mfundo Mlilo, to issue contrary statements to cause chaos and confusion. We state as follows. 1. The Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition board decision not to renew the director's employment contract stands as made on 10 October 2014.
Studio 7's Sandra Nyaira caught up with McDonald Lewanyika to respond to the issues being raised by Mavinga and the report.
Yeah, well, the press reports that are saying all is not well at Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition are not far from the point. There is a fair amount of discord that is emanating from the coalition at the moment. And a lot of this discord is as a result of lack of fluency at the level of the board of the institution. If you come to the offices of the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition, you'd be forgiven to think that everything is okay and is normal. But it is at the level of the leadership where we are finding discordant voices. But the long and short of it is that there is a situation of mistrust that has now developed between part of the leadership of the coalition and the bulk of the members, part of the leadership of the Crisis Coalition and its staff, part of the leadership of the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition and the bulk of its stakeholders. So that is the biggest challenge that we are faced with at this particular point in time.
So looking at this issue that you are, you know, enunciating in your response to my question, what should be the way forward in your opinion?
Well, on all matters that relate to the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition, the final arbiters of those matters should be the owners of the institution. And the moral owners of the institution are the members of Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition. They need to convene, meet, discuss, and map a way forward that is clear for the institution in order for it to be able to move forward. The matters that are bedeviling the coalition at the moment are not matters that can be resolved in the press. And unfortunately, we have seen that a lot of these are already playing out in the press and so on and so forth. But the right platform at which these issues need to be discussed and resolved is at the level of the membership of the coalition.
Briefly, can you respond to this report that is doing the rounds that your adversaries are using to say that you are not fit to continue running a crisis?
Yeah, well, I have heard that, and I actually have a letter to that effect from the chairperson, Dewa Mavinga, which I was given on the 10th, which was emailed to me on the 10th of October. First, before I respond to those issues, I just want to make it clear to everyone that contrary to what is being peddled, I am not refusing to leave the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition. As far as I am concerned, I was told that my contract would not be renewed when it ends in December. And as of now, I am under contract, and I am, as a person who is under contract, I am obligated to carry out my duties as director until such a time as my contract is either terminated or comes to an end in December. So I am not refusing to go, contrary to what people are saying. But to respond directly to the issues around whether I am fit or not to lead the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition based especially on audit findings, I think that a lot of these things are things that are both convoluted and contrived to meet a particular end. I have not heard of any situation anywhere in the world where audit reports are used to replace performance appraisals, especially audit reports that are not adverse, like the one that we have at the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition.
That was Director MacDonald Lewanyika of the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition talking about the crisis in his organization. Several tourism destinations in Zimbabwe are set to record a brisk business this forthcoming festive season, though the economy remains subdued because of various challenges, including lack of significant foreign direct investments. Tourism managers in Mashingo and Victoria Falls say the expected increase in tourism arrivals is being boosted by the ever-increasing trade and commerce in the Southern African Development Community region. They say this has led to the influx of transiting and business tourists interested in visiting the Great Zimbabwe Monuments, the majestic Victoria Falls, and several other places. According to the Zimbabwe Tourism Authority, the country recorded 17% increase in tourism arrivals in the first half of 2013. Ilala Lodge manager Sipambaniso Moyo tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube, though tourist arrivals slightly dipped following the recent Ebola outbreak in West Africa, there is optimism that the country this festive season will receive record visitors compared to the same period last year.
Businesses seem to be doing well. We are not having any challenges at the present moment. Even our occupancies, they are getting high, which is fine. We are expecting more business, I think. It's not a big problem this year compared to the yesteryears.
So what about in comparison to last year? How is the business?
The business was very well. We did it very well this year. It seems the occupancies, they are going up. They are not dropping.
So now looking at the type of visitors that you are receiving there, do you have any people from Zimbabwe that actually visit the falls, apart from attending workshops?
Zimbabweans are just limited. There is quite a few number of Zimbabweans coming to visit. I'm sure it's because of the economic problem. This dollar is not ours. It doesn't stay in our pockets. It's very, very difficult to go on holiday.
That was Ilala Lodge manager Sipambaniso Moyo speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Victoria Falls. You're listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington. We are broadcasting on the 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 12080 and 15775 shortwave frequencies. And now we go to the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Today, I'm gladly joined again by Lawrence Mashungu, who is the program's coordinator of the Youth Agenda Trust. Lawrence, thank you for joining me today.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome.
Lawrence, I understand, of course, your organization has been going out doing outreach programs in the Midlands in Mashingo areas, but you're saying that you have faced some issues in regards to what is happening to your members after they've come to these meetings. Tell me what's going on.
The last time that we had a meeting in the Midlands province in a place called the Bell Mine, it's a former mining community, so the mine is closed. So we went there for an outreach program. So we just collected the meeting. It was okay with the young people from various political parties. But after we left, one of our volunteers, she phoned us and he said the village head came to their house and he said, why did you entertain this organization? Then they promised to come and burn their houses. Then we had no option but to refer them to our lawyers to say that anything that can happen to these people have threatened them with violence. So people are silent right now. But in terms of fear, people are still afraid to come out in the open and attend some meetings.
Were there any other instances where you saw some issues like this happening in some of the areas you visited?
We did not manage to have a large turnout when we had another program in Taikarish because people said that after you have left, that is meaning us, we have left, they would be intimidated. And some of them told us that during the time that we had a meeting, some of the people, especially ZANU-PF leaders, they were looking at them. So they were trying to see who goes to such a meeting because they don't want anything that talks about the constitution. Because the new constitution, in as much as it is some challenges and such, but it talks a lot about people's rights. So these other guys are not comfortable with us talking about human rights. So that's a challenge that we are facing. But as of now, because there are no serious campaigns, because there is no election that is looming, it seems as if things are normal. But to tell the truth, people are just silent.
What have your lawyers said on this issue? Are they advising you to stop the outreach programs or will you continue doing your work in these areas?
Yeah, we're continuing with our program. Because we just approached the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights. Then they said anything that comes out, that comes up, just report to us. So what we've just done is to say that when we go to any program, we go to the Midlands, we go to Mashingo, we just alert them that on such a day, we are in this place. So they are always on high alert. But some of the traditional leaders, the moment that we told them that when you do this, we are going to report you to the police and also make sure that we tell our lawyers. Some of the traditional leaders, they begged off because most of them, they are taking advantage of people who do not know their rights. So when they discover that you at least know something, they take off.
What are some of the issues that you're covering when it comes to these outreach programs? Is it anything that is deemed to be politically aligned?
Yeah, because right now we are just trying to explain to people, especially one of the issues that some of our friends from ZANU-PF would not want to hear is the issue of the new government structure which talks about the provincial council. Right now, we are more than a year after the election, but the constitution stipulates the coming in of provincial government. So these provincial governments were meant to ensure that the government is devolved to the law structures where the executive would be accessible at law. So during our constitutional outreach program, we'll be telling people that by this time, you should be having a provincial government that is so close to you, where issues will be heard so easily. Unlike just a central government only, but the constitution gives us the right to have the provincial government. But up to now, they have not taken out of office. So we'll be telling people this thing. So when they hear such things, they say, oh, these people are talking politics. But we'll be telling the truth. We'll be just explaining what the government is not doing.
That was Lawrence Mashungu of the Youth Agenda Trust joining us today on the Youth Forum. Make sure you join me next week. This is Tatenda Gumbo saying have a wonderful rest of your weekend.
This is Studio 7 for Zimbabwe, coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap on today's top stories, the Commercial Farmers Union says preparations for this year's farming season are being hampered by lack of financing and the changing weather pattern. And the Health Ministry says it has made strides in curbing the transmission of the HIV/AIDS virus from mother to child. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, November 16th, 2014. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.